Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
89. It's going to be a short one, though, folks. We are just coming off of a meeting, and also Scott's feeling a little under the weather.
A little bit.
And has some important stuff tomorrow, so we're going to cut it probably straight to the questions. There's really not much that happened this week that's really relatable anyway.
No.
Let's just go ahead and cut right in.
If you're listening on Monday and want to wish me good juju, Z Nation audition.
I'm going to wish you good juju, the kind of jujus that don't get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, jujubes.
Yeah, those are they're terrible.
I know. They're worse than dots. Dots are just really, really hard gummy.
Without the
sugar. Gumdrops without the sugar
on them, yeah. Terrible.
Oh, so hard to chew.
Yeah.
Luckily, though, I didn't have any dental work done, so it never got caught in there.
Yeah.
It just got caught in the...
Yeah. Well, jujubes, I swore I was going to tear a tooth out. Like, they just weld your mouth shut. So, it's pretty bad. So,
okay, yeah. We want to go in reverse order and answer the long dentist questions first.
Of course. Of course.
I'll do the follow-up for yours first.
Okay.
And then that will give me time to scroll down and try and work my mouth around the question of that was posed to me. Right. Dennis writes up a follow-up from last week. If you forgot, it was about me finding my head glowing blue on my way to the mailbox.
Floating.
So Dennis's follow-up question for Andy is... You walk forth to grab thy bardly comrade's cranium. Upon touching it, Scott's head, quote, disappears. You hear faintly a sound coming from nowhere in particular around you. An 8-bit sounding peppy balinkity-bing rings out for a brief moment. I hope you know what that means.
So I'm continuing my my portion of this.
Apparently, yes.
So at that point, what I think I would probably do is I would like run to a bridge or the top of a building or something and just jump off.
I'm sorry, what?
I'd go to a bridge or the top of a building. I'd groundhog day it and just jump off. Well, provided your head also gave me an extra life.
Okay.
Because this is Mega Man.
Is it?
Yeah. Mega Man, his own head is your extra... They're the one-ups. Your own head floating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got 2 seconds into Mega Man every time I tried to play it, and so I didn't get very far.
You got... There's a pattern, or there's an order you have to go through.
Yes.
Start with Mega Man 2. Start with either Woodman or Airman. I like Woodman, personally. Yeah, and go from there. And then the bosses, you defeat them in a certain order.
You realize that we have you now for posterity saying you like wood, man.
I do like wood, man.
Okay, so Dennis writes as a follow-up for me, this is in Dennis's voice, if I encountered your head floating in this way, I would try to find out if I was a playable character in the game you obviously must be a title character of. If yes, I would touch your head there in hopes that it disappears. If no, I would try to contact you ASAP, seriously, drop everything right now, and get your ass to where your head is at so that you can touch it, you lucky bastard, tongue emoticon. Assuming I got to touch it, though, and all of this craziness actually happened, I guess I'd feel a lot more comfortable doing things normally considered dangerous, hazardous, risky, etc. in the future. So I guess Dennis's follow-up was, I'm done talking to Scott about this question. I'm going to tell him how I would have played it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to talk to Andy because obviously he understands what I'm saying.
You asked him last week to tell us what he would do.
Right. But But my follow-up is his explanation, and he is now done with me. So where I thought that one
path
diverged into two in the forest, it was more of a little stub to the side, and it's still just one path down the forest, only Andy's.
See, I don't read Robert Frost. I read Robot Frost.
Oh.
So there are 10 paths in the forest.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hexadecimal.
The left and the right. No, that binary, dude. Binary.
See, this is why I should not be asked questions.
Beep boop.
Wow, at this rate.
It's going to be a long podcast.
It's going to be a very... It will be 89 seconds. 8 minutes and 9 seconds. I don't have a good question. So now that I understand what the question is, Dennis, feel free to toss out another scenario and I will try and be a better human being and play by the rules.
Well, we also need to get you playing Mega Man at least once.
Yes.
Mega Man 9, I think, is on my Xbox that you're borrowing forever.
Mega Man 9?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't I start with 1 and work my...
They're all the same. They're all just death.
Okay. Rob McLennan writes, so is it time...
Boy, that was Street Fighter.
I don't think that I know many of the answers to any of these questions this week. So is it time for two bards to get together with Andat and shoot a music video for Kit No Morphiart by Atrocity Knife?
Funny you mentioned that, Rob, because we just talked about this at a meeting today. The issue is we are still waiting for the person who is going to be doing the music to be available. I mean, Andat could do it, but odds are the first time you hear this, it's going to be on Dead FM. So we are definitely looking into it. We are definitely talking about it still. It's just a matter of finding the right person to score it and to sing it.
I think
Jeremy Spray might be the right person to sing it.
Okay, or so Luke. I do know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Luke Amundsen would be great too.
Yes.
So maybe we should get him all operatic and shit. Because I think he does operatic fairly well.
He has a very big musical theater type voice.
There we go.
And he's in Tacoma and Jeremy's in Portland.
For me, that's the same thing.
I know. It's south of here.
It's south of here.
By the way, speaking of Rob McLennan, mighty fine bracelet you're sporting.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if we can... Can you hear that? That's the chainmail bracelet that came with our chainmail coifs. And there were three of them. I picked the biggest burly one. Because it fits my...
Burly with a B, not girly with a G.
Well, a little bit of both.
You got the girly clasp, though.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I like the copper one.
The copper one's nice. The other one's a little dainty for me. I don't think I can fit it around any of my...
appendages?
Well, any that I'm willing to put on here.
Oh my, that is tiny. Well.
I might not even be able to fit. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, I like the copper one.
Yeah, it uses
copper.
Because
I don't have anything copper. And it doesn't jingle.
It's like live. Throwing copper.
I do know that reference.
Lightning crashes, and new mother cries.
Her placenta falls to the floor.
Oh, gross.
Paula Moran writes, sorry about the transition, Paula. I did not mean it to be. It's a week late. Also. Wow, okay. Paula Moran writes, it's a week late, but what are your favorite kinds of pie? Dessert, savory, and pizza.
Whew. Well, I mean, I'm straight up going to answer pumpkin. Like, that's my favorite kind of pie. Hands down, pumpkin pie is the correct pie. I also like a pizza pie, and I do like Australian pies. Aussie pies are fucking great. So savory pies are great. But if I'm going with classic, traditional pie in a pan for dessert, pumpkin all the way.
It's weird because being a northern liver of most of my, all of my adult life.
God, he's coming out with pecan. I can tell it.
I was going to say, all of my pies are southern. I like the pecan pie. I like the key lime pie.
Mm, key lime's good.
I'm a big fan of berry pies. My sister makes...
Now, that's a West Coast thing, too.
Amazing Marion berry pie.
That's definitely... Which, with a lot of cocaine.
Yes. And for all your East Coast listeners. And my mother used to make... Is he?
He's dead, I think.
Yeah, I thought he was still the mayor.
I thought Marion Barry died recently-ish. Like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he didn't.
Mom used to make a really awesome blueberry pie that was to die for, and I think how I fell in love with blueberries.
See, my mom made a Burberry pie, which was really, really fibrous. See, Aaron would love this joke, and she doesn't even listen to the podcast, because Burberry is a type of fabric.
Yes, it is.
So,
And I do like the savory shepherd's pies, Aussie pies.
Meat pie, just in general, like not I don't like kidney at all. I hate kidney, but just a straight steak pie. Yeah. Kidney's too much.
I'm not sure I've had a steak pie.
If you go to Pies and Pints, they do a steak and kidney. They do a standard steak pie. They do a pot roast pie, things like that. Really good stuff. Good. And it's called Pies and Pints because you can also get a pint.
It would make eating the pie a whole lot easier.
It really would. Even the kidney one.
Yeah. And that's a pea pie, man. The pizza pie is good as long as it's a Paddington's pizza pie.
Paddington's pizza pies are primo, but I'm going to prefer probably Hot Mama pizza pie.
Well done. And Rob McLennan writes in with the last question of the podcast. What is your favorite practical makeup effect from a movie that you've seen or worked on?
Well, that's all... It's going to be a movie I've seen or worked on, right?
He suspects that for me, it will be the Strong Like Bull character makeup. And as always, kill Hitler.
As always, kill Hitler. And then Hitler jumps out of a window.
Danger 5. Just discovered it last night on Netflix, so I'm excited to watch all seven episodes.
Scott doesn't listen to the podcast either.
Nope.
Because he missed the recommendation.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So you want to go first on that one?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the Strong Like Bull. I really like I like the bonding that Damon, Sean, and I did over that bonding to my face.
Ha, because it was freezing.
It was. And I do like an effect you guys haven't seen yet for a film called The Darker Path, where Jesse James, an actor out of L.A. who I've seen pop up in Mad Men and a couple other shows now, takes an axe to my head. And
it's about time.
My cranium erupts in a very fine mist spray that I have pictures of on my phone for the blood gag. It was a little... I did not know that an axe would produce that, and I'm hoping that they can sweeten it a little bit in the special effects. But it was very misty, but the reaction that Jesse had when he got... Because this was a one take.
Yeah.
This is all. We got my head, a bust of my head, actually the same bust that was used for Strong Like Bull was the positive. And then it's up there with my shoulders, and they're holding it coming out of the trap door, and he swings the axe, and then this thing just goes... Poof. And just literally, it would be like taking a, I don't know, WD-40 or a Windex thing and going, psh, and an industrial size splooge on his face. And he's just standing there for a second going, and then continued with the action. Wow. So
I have not had any makeup effects applied to me for film. I've had the only appliance I've ever had applied was a test appliance for Bandersnatch that was like a wolf scratch kind of thing. It was pretty cool. But if I'm going for my favorite practical, I'm going to expand this a little bit and just my favorite practical effects in general. Going to start with The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. I think that had some of the best practical effects ever. The practical orc from The Hobbit that got painted over with CGI was amazing. Amazing practical makeup work. But my favorite special effect, honestly, is probably from a A movie that not a lot of people have seen for some reason, but you should all go see, called Rob Roy.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of Rob Roy, Tim Roth has a problem,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is one of the most beautiful effects I've ever seen, and it's practical.
Yeah. The other ones that I'm liking now, although I'm not a big horror/zombie movie person.
Yeah.
I do like one of the effects that they had in sci-fi where a shotgun blast goes through, obviously, a practical person
mm-hmm.
fighting with, I think it was Russell or somebody, mm-hmm. and he gets shot in the head and you see the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But also in some of the practical effects, probably in the Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever,
where
you actually have an actor, but they're missing like half their face, and you know that they've done it through trickery and probably some green coloring under there, but those sort of decomposed bodies that you know are not animatronics, they're not CGI, they're actual practical effects. Some of that stuff, to me, is just amazing when you can start carving away stuff.
Right.
That's so, Voldemort's nose.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a big green thing on Ralph Fiennes' nose through all of
No, that. they just
post smoothed out and
but, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is funny that this is coming up because Erin, for the first time in her life, watched Barbarella the other day. A PG-rated movie with more boobs than you can count.
Like Barbarella's seven. PG?
Barbarella's PG. Wow. Well, they didn't have PG-13 back then.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't R. R was much harder, you know, so...
Right.
But either way, I mean, it's boobs. It's like the whole movie's about love and stuff, so who cares?
Yeah.
There's like... God, is there even any death in it? Aside from, I think Duran dies at one point, maybe. I don't think he escapes. But yeah, there's like, it's non-violent. It's just there's some boobs occasionally. And it's equal opportunity boobs. The men have little windows in their shirts, too, for boobs. So, anyway.
Oh, the special effects in Grimm. All those real practical effects when the... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, wah, wah. Anyway, the whole thing's practical effects. And I think there was an IMDb post about how cheesy they were. And I'm like, no, they look amazing. They're so cool. Like, yeah, it's the 60s. Yeah, you can see the strings. I don't care. It's awesome.
Yeah. For the technology they had.
Yeah.
Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Harryhausen in general.
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
He was...
So, yeah, those are mine, I think.
Okay.
Not Barbarella for me.
No.
But, you know.
But it was cool.
It was cool.
And we're talking John Carpenter's The Thing... The original.
Well, we're talking about the one from, not the one from the like 60s or whatever, 50s. The one from, I want to say the 80s or 90s.
Okay.
But not the remake in the 2000s.
Okay.
The Kurt Russell one.
Yeah, the Kurt Russell. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the practical effects in that movie.
I keep forgetting that there was a version before that one.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So I think that's about it.
We couldn't even stretch 20 minutes out of this one. This could possibly be the shortest podcast ever.
Well, next week we'll just release one that says 90 and leave. That's it. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening.
Please come tell me why I feel like shit.
Yeah, no, you know what it is from our perspective. We're just moving so fast that it seems short to us, but we actually elongate to everyone else.